Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
President Trump making announcements yesterday about MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, talking about bringing it forth into a modern digital age. So we'll get into that. But when we say MAHA, right, this is a movement. Every movement needs a mission leader. And we have just the man who's on a mission to make sure that America, that we really can reverse chronic disease trends. Can we really do that? So I want to go deeper into this and what it means. Some countries have done that, right? It takes education. It takes awareness. It takes a high quality policy. And let's talk about the future, the real future of wellness in America and the MAHA movement, taking the pulse with Tim Keller. Hey, Tim, it's great to have you on again.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So I know that you, and we'll talk about the app that you've created. We talked about that last time, success in lifestyle programs. You know, as far as bringing forth the healthcare industry into a digital age, modernizing things, is that something that you think is a critical piece of this? Where I know that yesterday, you know, all the different teams and the Trump administration, President Trump himself, they announced, for example, they're launching new programs to share different personal health data, medical records, and even incorporating 60 private companies, major tech companies like Google, Amazon, Apple. What do you think about that as far as utilizing the private sector so that, you know, for example, people can check in much in a quicker way, or if you've moved, you know, your health records, for example, or maybe some of your, you know, whether it's a mammogram or something of that nature where you have to, you know, transfer those records and utilizing modern technology. Do you think that's critical to modernize, digitize, you know, and using the private sector as a partner?
Yeah. Well, you know, the data centers that they're building up and all over the place, actually even in Southern Indiana, we have a very large data center being built here. Those are important. The digital age is obviously very important. I mean, if you think about our app is in the digital age that we can actually educate anybody from anywhere. They don't even have to go into our center, and they can go on to our, not just download the app from Apple Android, but we also have a clinical app that we license to physicians that don't have time to educate, and they can educate their diabetics from anywhere, bill under their arrangement. So I believe a lot in the digital age. You know, EMR systems, which are electronic medical records, or EHRs, are which electronic health records, they've been around for a while. So the transfer of information actually has already been happening for, mm-hmm. you know, several years, and it's pretty easy. But, you know, the more we can modernize that, you know, obviously the better to be able to transfer information. But, you know, then again, there's, you know, we have to be protected of that information because we don't want that information to be used in the wrong way with some of these big companies, right? And so there's that side of the coin because, you know, we ought to sign a BAA or HIPAA agreement, right? HIPAA is a very big thing in medical. It scares me a little bit to think that, like, Google or, you know, Amazon or Apple could get some of that information, hold of that information, because, you know, unfortunately, I think it could be used for not good too, right? So, targeting people and, you know, to try to, you know, increase their bottom line. So, that bothers me a little bit, but, you know, as long as it's all HIPAA protected, but it would be hard for me to, you know, see that that would happen with these big tech companies.
Yeah. You know, for you and your site, U.S. Diabetes Care, and like I said, you know, we talked about the app that you created, which I think is so user-friendly, and anybody can sign up for that. When we talk about, for example, pre-diabetes or any autoimmune, because we see this huge jump in autoimmune diseases, especially after COVID, and thinking about, you know, as somebody might be prone, whether it's because of your genetics or because of whatever's going on in the world, that's a big one. And that's what you're part of, right, Tim, is education. In your case, you know, U.S. Diabetes Care, thinking of all these different kinds of pre-diabetes, type 2, type 3, and then, you know, really teaching people, educating people. I would say this is, and we talked about my son who was diagnosed with type 1, Tim, and that is, I can't even tell you the education I've had just in the journey with my son Michael, which I've talked a lot about. And then the benefit. Yeah,
did you look up that mastering diabetes?
Yes. Thank you for that. I mean, but anybody could look at that. You don't have, I'll say this, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I would encourage everybody to look this up, because the reason I'm saying is that you learn so much when you think about the pre-diabetes, any kind of diabetes conversation, because it really is not just about diabetes. It's a whole health, your gut health. I mean, it's just everything, carbs, everything we've learned about calories. It's all wrong. It's not even about calories or sugar. It's about carbs, how the body burns the carbs. I mean, everything we've learned is bass-ackwards. That's what I'm trying to say. And so it's not really about diabetes. So
the bottom line is, you know, diabetics are told that carbs are the enemy.
Yeah.
Well, carbs aren't the enemy. It's the right carbs, right? So people understand, well, what? There's so many carbs that, you know, like I say, anything white, especially if you're type 1, anything white, carbs, stay away from.
Yeah.
But there's so many good carbs for type 1s that are in fruits and vegetables. You know, so many type 1s and even diabetics are told, you know, you can't eat fruit. That's so misinformation. I mean, fruit is great for diabetics, type 1 and type 2. Vegetables have carbs in them. But, you know, it's people understanding the right carbs, right? There's you know, fast-burning carbs. There's slow-burning carbs. There's ones that digest, you know, very quick in the system, spikes insulin. There's some that digest very slow. They don't spike insulin. I mean, well, people got to be educated. And, you know, once again, this is the problem is, you know, and I talk about it all the time, westernized medicine, doctors are not trained in nutrition. And they don't have the time to educate even if they were.
Yeah.
So people have to look out. And like I said, U.S. Diabetes Care has a great educational app. It's, you know, our passion is diabetes, but actually this app is a lifestyle for everybody. Mm-hmm. Anyone that wants to change their lifestyle, we give the education in this app to do so. But I tell everybody, you know, don't want to use our app, that's fine. Get educated. Yeah. You know, get some knowledge under your belt that you can make lifestyle changes that are for the better, not just for yourself, but once again, your family and your family's health. And like I said, what Michael's going through, you know, and the scary part is, you know, Michael and so many others now are getting these autoimmune type 1s way later in life. It doesn't even make sense. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I believe it's a virus. It's something that from the virus, COVID, that, you know, knocks out the pancreas or different things, and autoimmune conditions are starting to happen all over. I mean, I have a buddy now that's all of a sudden healthy, nothing ever wrong with him. All of a sudden he's having some kind of, like, random kidney issues.
Yeah.
And it all came after he had a couple bouts of COVID, and never had any issues before. Very healthy, and so I'm like, what's going on here? Because I think we're going to continue to see a rise in that. I think there's a grand design with that vaccine. I mean, the vaccine and the COVID, and I think there's a grand design around that. And you know, kind of, I hate to say it, but the strong survived. People with the you know, strong immune systems, and you know, people that didn't get vaccinated and things like that, I think, you know, build up a stronger immunity to people that went and had these vaccines and boosters and all these things. I think there's some real validity behind some trickery there, and that's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But
I know
it's sad. It's sad. I go, man. You know, all these disease states, people coming in with all late onset type 1 diabetes, which you know, you've learned it's a horrible disease.
Yes.
It's a horrible disease.
Yeah, I mean, it shortens your life, and then it affects your feet, your body, everything. You know, and another piece that's interesting that's now on my radar, and I never would have paid attention to, that I'm always looking up all these studies. So through all these studies, I'll mention ivermectin and HCQ. And now that it's on my radar and I get the alerts, you know, and all of that, all these studies looking at those two treatments in particular, HCQ, ivermectin, keep coming up for these autoimmune things, talking about T cells, talking about, and specific, not necessarily diabetes, although there are studies with those medications with regard to diabetes, but things like lupus and other autoimmune illnesses, MS is a big one. And so I think it's odd that these medicines that kept coming up during COVID, where people were saying, hey, my doctor prescribed those two things, and then there was this huge pushback and attack on it. And so it just, it does make you question the so-called mainstream. And so that brings me to the next point, and that is how to trust our institutions and our medical institutions again. Because, Tim, I know you see it, just the loss in faith and trust.
Yeah, I mean, we deal with it all the time because we unfortunately get the, I call them train wreck diabetics. That, you know, been in the westernized system for a long time, and they come to us and they're lost, and they've been diabetic now 10, 15 years. They've been seeing the same doctor. Yeah. That doctor's made no changes in their health. They've not hit the curve. They're not doing better. Actually, they're doing worse. And then within, you know, two or three appointments with us, they're like, you know, they're frustrated because they're like, why was I never told any of these things? Why did I live with this disease this long? Now you guys got me feeling better, but I felt miserable for 15 years. Why did this happen?
Yeah.
And we have to look at those patients, you know, because we have a passion for these patients, say, we're sorry that that happened to you in our medical system. But, you know, the reality is that the system's built and broken, that there's no money in a cure. I mean, we're really honest with our patients, say, and a lot of doctors just aren't trained in diabetes management. And so they're trained to write a script, and, you know, and they're going to give you, you know, if you got things going on and your sugar can't get under control, they're going to give you more insulin. And if you got other things going on, they're going to give you more high blood pressure medication. I mean, there's no money in a cure. There's no money, and there's no doctors that have really real time to educate diabetics on lifestyle. So, you know, people try to blame the doctors, but, you know, the doctors, this is how they were trained.
Yes.
And so, so if you think about that, from the 1950s when, and then really in the 70s when Big Pharma took over big medical facilities and they started training residency programs, they taught residents how to treat a symptom, not a patient. And so symptomatic treating is writing scripts. And so that's kind of where doctors are stuck at. I just think that, you know, there's not a lot of the old school farm call doctors that, you know, knew you and knew the family, and they had generations of family, and, you know, they knew your history, and, you know, really kind of try to do things in a different way. But, you know, then we didn't have all the disease states. I mean, people weren't, you know, obese, and we weren't eating all this processed food and all the chemical poisons that are out there now within the processed foods and refined fats and oils and refined foods and processed foods and, you know, processed sugar and flour and hydrogenized wheat, high fructose corn. I mean, you can go on and on. There's so much bad things in our food.
Yeah, that's so true. Tim Keller, I hope we continue the conversation. Just always appreciate you and love hearing your take on things, all things MAHA, making America healthy again, making all of us healthy again. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on again. We'll talk soon.
Okay, talk soon. Thank you. Yeah, we have so much. I'll do some news headlines around the corner and get your take on some things. We'll update you on Pennsylvania's budget. We obviously have the funeral that's ongoing, that the procession is beginning in New York City. And as I started out this morning on Kale and Company, 6 o'clock this morning, talking about the fact that law enforcement from across the country, including here in Philadelphia, you heard me with Chief Malloy yesterday from Abington, I mean, from municipalities across the country, nationally, federal, state, local law enforcement backing the blue. And this is a day of mourning across America for one officer in particular who was killed in the line of duty, his family there in New York City, and his life, his heroism being remembered. And that's so important as we think about that. Flags flying at half staff, obviously, in New York. So we'll honor the latest fallen hero, our patriot, local police officer in New York City. And I know many of you are thinking about the family. And when I say the family, I mean the officer's family, but as well the larger law enforcement family hurting today after learning of what happened, that horrific situation in New York City. So we'll talk about that and pay tribute to him. So many other headlines that we'll get to. 855-839-1210. Be right back. America's largest city mourning flags at half staff. As of course, this is the New York police officer who was killed in that Midtown massacre in Manhattan, New York City, and he's being mourned as we speak today at his funeral. And all five victims were shot in Monday's attack, 345 Park Avenue, four of them dying. Officer Didarul Islam, 4-year veteran of the force, two little boys, his wife, her baby is due in weeks. And so he is the hero cop who New York City grieves for. Thousands gathering, family, friends, his coworkers expected, they are gathering as I speak, to mourn the NYPD officer killed in this week's just horrific attack. And so the grieving family, it's unthinkable. 36 years young, Officer Didarul Islam, fatally shot. He was the first person shot in this office building. And of course, we know the gunman, psychotic, whatever was going on with him. He drove all the way from Nevada, from Vegas, focusing on the NFL, National Football League's headquarters, obviously. And so he was shot and killed. Then a security guard was shot and killed. So obviously the focus was to take out the officer and the security guard, also a different gentleman, uniformed. And then we're learning more about the two women who were killed. Both of them executives, both of them Jewish women, by the way. Not that I think this, that was one thing that I questioned initially, was, are these women being, is this an anti-Semitic thing? And that's no doubt police ruling that one out, but there's no evidence to that effect. But in fact, you heard obviously the police commissioner Jessica Tisch, she referenced that she knows one of the women well. And so we have, that going on. But in this one, it's Islam's funeral taking place at Park Chester. And this is at Jamie Misjad Funeral Home. Obviously, he's a Muslim gentleman. And then separate viewings in their tradition of faith, separate viewings for men and for women that are happening with prayer services. New York City Mayor Eric Adams there. Governor Kathy Hochul is there. And then, of course, we know that the Mamdani, who's running for mayor, he was invited as well. He met with the widow and the family members yesterday, and he made that announcement at the news conference. We talked about that earlier. So just to give you some of the sense of the coverage from New York City, this is NBC4, the New York station. They've been covering this. Obviously, all the stations have. It's streaming. And so as they pay tribute to this hero cop, like I say, thousands gathered and grieving. Listen in.
And law enforcement sources are now beginning to fill out the picture a little bit more of this mass shooter's mental health status. They tell us that a search warrant from Nevada has shown up a prescription bottle in his home that was for an antipsychotic medication. They say they also found a second suicide note that included an apology to his parents. And all this, as you say, as the close-knit Bengali community here in the Bronx prepares to memorialize Officer Didarul Islam tomorrow.
So that is just a piece of the coverage that you're hearing as the community mourns there, as he was, you heard the reporter referencing there, an immigrant from Bangladesh. Officer Islam had worked his way up the nation's largest police force, serving as a school safety agent before becoming a patrol officer. And that was less than 4 years ago. And then he was assigned to a precinct in the Bronx, the city borough where he had lived with his wife and two young sons. And obviously they're expecting their third child within weeks. And we learned this week as well, her husband was gunned down, the now widow of the officer, Mrs. Islam. She had an appointment, for her doctor to have, you know, testing and the routine appointment as you get closer to having a baby. And so then we learned that, in fact, another officer had taken her, had driven her. She, when you're at that stage and you're so, you know, big with the baby, you know, you can't, you're encouraged not to drive at that point. And so another officer had actually driven Mrs. Islam to her doctor's appointment. We learned that this week. And then the tragic news, just sad news, that his dad, because, of course, the close-knit family, and so his father had, when he learned that his only son had been shot to death, gunned down in this way, he had had a medical breakdown and some sort of stroke and was rushed to the hospital, is doing better now, but we had learned that, in fact. I think the impressive city official, if I may say this, from New York, is the police commissioner, Jessica Tisch. Yes, if the name sounds familiar, she is from the famous Tisch family. So, you know, her dad, her uncle from the Lowe's Hotels chain, right? Very wealthy, very famous family, if you know the Tisch empire, the Tisch family. And so she is somebody who chose to, I mean, from, like I say, from a extremely wealthy business family, very well known in the nation, you know, but she's somebody who chose to go into public service. And so she is, to me, she's very impressive. And there's no question in my mind that she someday will be a mayor of New York City. No question. And it's not a political thing. It's just, you can tell she has that way about her, no matter what the situation, nuts and bolts, common sense, no nonsense. And I think, and she does remind you of like a, if you think of a Bloomberg type of mayor, kind of a, you know, fiscally responsible, no nonsense kind of individual, but as well, somebody with compassion, you know, and she had talked about her relationship that she knows one of the victims. And so that was, you know, something that I think she can, she's in the community, if you will. Another victim, by the way, Julia Hyman. She was already buried following an emotional service that happened yesterday at a Manhattan synagogue. 27 years young, Cornell University grad, and with all kinds of honors, dean's list, all of that. And she worked in the building on the 33rd floor at Rudin Management. And so we learned about her that she was, you know, this was where, you know, the gunman goes up to the 33rd floor. It's the wrong floor. The elevator's door, the elevator doors open, and there she is. And so it was an issue of timing and tragedy. And he opens fire and takes out Julia Hyman. Just a coward. I don't care. Like, this is not a day for me to talk. I don't really want to hear about the gunman, because he was obviously a coward. Whatever's going on with him to take out these individuals, it's sick. And then we also know, as far as the other victims' funeral arrangements for the other two victims, security guard Alain Etienne, and then as well, the investment firm executive we've talked a lot about, Wesley LePatner. Those particular arrangements, I don't know that they are public. As far as Wesley LePatner, what I will note to you, and she's the one who the Commissioner Tisch personally knew her, and was paying tribute to her. But Wesley LePatner is somebody in the Jewish community who was on some very important boards. Her two children were actually at camp, had to learn about this. You can't even imagine. Leaves behind her husband, her children, and the just all of the emotional tributes to her, beautiful tributes to the individual that she was. People just saying that she was one of a kind. So brilliant and so warm, and the people that she touched in her life, mom in her early 40s, one person noting that she was a tiny petite woman, and she was at this point cowering because our hero cop was the first one shot. I believe that Mrs. LePatner was the second person shot, and that she was this very petite woman, and she was cowering behind a column in the lobby. And this cowardice, crazed individual just takes her life for no reason. She's this tiny petite woman, no threat. She's cowering down. Why? Why? And then also they have not identified by name the NFL official or employee who was also down in the lobby. Now, he survived. He's recovering. He's in stable, but we heard serious condition. And he, although he was shot and initially critically injured, by the way, and bleeding, as he was lying there in his blood, pulling out his cell phone and calling upstairs to let, because he knew what elevator they took, and that 33rd floor is the only one you can get off on at that, the elevator. That he's, so having the, just the state of mind to call upstairs to folks up on that floor to say, shelter in place, there's a gunman coming up. Unfortunately, tragically for the young lady who was right outside the elevator, she didn't get the word. But that was why there were individuals on the floor who barricaded the door where they were, because they knew that a gunman was coming in. So the, another piece of the heroism that you think about. Ugh, it's just heart-wrenching. We'll continue on with this. Your thoughts on so much that we've talked about, so much breaking ahead. We'll update you on everything. Don't go anywhere. This is The Dawn Show. Be right back. Hey, huge congratulations to some of our colleagues here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Odyssey, and my former colleague, Sue Serio, who has just been named as the Person of the Year, Broadcast Pioneers. Love Sue Serio. Worked with Sue for about a decade on the Fox 29, 10 o'clock news for many years. She's the morning, you know, the weather woman, weather anchor. Sue, congratulations. And as well, George Cummings. He's this legendary engineer there who would always say, and the whole thing. Every story was, and the whole thing. Sometimes he has me saying that. And my longtime producer, Monica Avery, four-time Emmy award-winning producer at CBS News Philadelphia, KYW-TV. Monica, congratulations. And right here in the building where we're broadcasting from, huge congratulations to Dave Scalish, Director of Technical Operations at Odyssey. Great guy who's being inducted into the Broadcast Hall of Fame. David Yadgroff, Yad as we call him. You hear Zioli will be venting about something and then he'll say, Yad, if you're wondering who Yad, that's David Scalish, Mr. Scalish, Director and, David Yadgroff, Yad, SVP, Market Manager for Odyssey in Philadelphia. So, two great Davids. And then there's my David. There's David Menti, Dave Scalish, and Dave Yadgaroff. But our two Davids here in the building, Broadcast Pioneers. And Mike Quick. Did you hear this? Mike Quick, Philadelphia Eagles, color commentator, radio broadcast on WIP, another of our sister sibling station, 94.1, and former Eagles wide receiver, obviously. Eagles! Mike Quick, congratulations. I can't believe Mike wasn't already in there. Wow. That's kind of crazy. But congratulations to all of you. Great broadcast pioneers and honored to work with you now or have worked with you in the past. But Sue Serio, she's such a sweetheart. And Bill Vargas is her husband. So he's in those M. Night Shyamalan, some of those shows. If you've noticed, he went into acting. He used to be our sports guy. So anyway, congratulations. If you go on social media, congratulate them as we talk about all of it. Hey, let me just update you really quick because it's going to turn nasty if you haven't heard. Heads up, flash floods, severe storms, torrential rain could begin as soon as 2 p.m. today and last through 10 p.m. So we could see flooding. It's going to tee us up for a beautiful Friday tomorrow. But if you're planning, you know, heading out, maybe do it now. So you don't want to be on the roads caught in this stuff. So just watch the forecast. Speaking of Sue Serio. And then Governor Josh Shapiro putting out this word that billions of dollars in aid specifically to Pennsylvania schools, because, you know, TikTok, tomorrow's August 1st, school starting in just a few weeks. So they're putting this word out that because they don't have their budget done, which is not your problem and it shouldn't be our problem, but they need to get the budget done. So every year this happens, and it's so irksome. It's just like, it's emergency aid. So we need to pull all of their funding as far as you guys don't, in the law, legislature, none of you get paid, none of you get your stuff, but the schools, libraries, human services, and the books. So what they'll do with this, every year, I remember under Governor Tom Wolf, I would get so mad. Because, for example, they'll say, well, we can get the books to the public schools, but for you in the private school, even though we've all paid for it, taxpayer dollars, you're not going to get your books, which really stinks. But they're putting this out. They just hold certain entities hostage. I would just say, get it done. That's on you, people. And they should fine them. These lawmakers who get their little vacation time and whatnot, no, we're going to fine you. We're going to dock your pay because you make too much money in six-figure salaries, which is absurd. We're going to dock your pay for every, not even day, for every hour. It's $100 an hour. For every hour you didn't get the job done, yeah, we're docking your pay. It's going to be subtracted, and we get that money back because you're losers. That's just, you know, my take. You think that would happen? Not. But I'm still, you know, I get aggravated. 855-839-1210. Okay. Andrew Torres, did you get this email about Anna, the nurse? Did I send you this email? I probably, if I messed up, I apologize.
Okay. No, it's okay. It's all good. I actually have, so there's no direct audio from the article itself, but there's a link in the article that takes you to a thing where you can kind of get an idea of what it would sound like.
Do we hear Anna, the nurse?
Yeah, so it's
okay, let me set it up before you go to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to set it up really fast. So this is President Trump, the Trump administration. We talked a lot about it. We talked with Tim Keller about it. So just to set it up really quick, they would have artificial intelligence. Now, nurses, I'm telling you, and nurses' unions are not happy with this. So if you're in the medical profession, I want to hear from you after he plays Anna, because all these, here's the thing, I couldn't even do this story with Nick and Greg earlier, because you know where they're going to go. Like, let's play nurse and doctor with AI, are these nurse robots? You know what I mean? Like, I know where you're going, some people, but this is like a serious story. So they're going AI. Now, what could possibly go wrong? So if they use AI, would it replace the actual nurse? Right now, as Tim Keller, you heard him say this, we already have some of this, but what do you think about artificial intelligence and even Anna, the AI-created nurse, to, I don't know, check your vitals or whatever? So that's the story here. And this is a real deal. The next time you're due for a medical exam, you may get a call from somebody like Anna, a friendly voice that can, you know, help you prepare for your appointment and answer any of your pressing questions. What questions do you have for Anna? Andrew Torres, take it away.
I'm glad you called. I'm feeling kind of anxious about this procedure. I feel like I'm the only person my age who has ever gotten a colonoscopy, and I'm just, I'm just feeling really overwhelmed about it all.
I'm so glad you shared that with me. It's completely normal to feel anxious about a procedure like this. I want you to know that you're not alone in this feeling. Many people, regardless of age, feel apprehensive about colonoscopies. It's great that you're taking proactive steps to address your health concerns. Can you tell me a bit more about what's specifically causing your anxiety? Is it the procedure itself, the preparation, or something else entirely?
I think it's just the unknown. I have never done this before, obviously, so I just don't know what it's going to be like, and I'm nervous about the prep.
So that gives you a sense. Is this creepy to you? It's a little creepy. Is it? Am I wrong here?
It's a little weird. So to give context to what the clip is, it's obviously a nurse pretending to be a caller, interacting with the artificial intelligence.
Right.
So it's going to take a while. And if this is something that they start to implement in hospitals and doctor's offices and minute clinics and all that stuff, it's going to take a while to get used to it, because nobody really wants to be like talking to a robot. Everybody's used to talking to an actual person with feelings that you can connect with and different things. So if you're talking to a computer, that's, to me, I agree with you, it's a little creepy. It's a little weird.
I guess it's something maybe we all have to get used to. I'd rather go on social media, which I know is not medically reliable. But, like, I just saw my friend Vince Papale, he posted on our little private feed, and he said that he is cancer-free, went for a colonoscopy, and they gave him the heads up that he had some polyps, some, like, cancerous polyps. He's cancer-free. Everything's fine, thank God. But putting out the word, make sure you get your colonoscopy. Like, I'd rather reach out to somebody like, you know, Vince Papale and his wife and ask them, hey, what'd you get? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I, it's because you're like talking to a computer. And is it really reliable?
Yeah. I mean, you would think that the information that the computer has, because whatever you program into the computer, into the artificial intelligence, is what it knows.
Yeah.
It's still weird talking to a computer in that capacity. That's so what's weird.
Would you do this? 855-839-1210. So this is, you know, she's very calm and she has this warm, creepy demeanor. I'm just saying it's creepy a little bit, Anna. So she's trained, they've trained the AI to put patients at ease. And so the problem that nurses unions have, first of all, they're wondering about, you know, the number one thing is everybody's wondering about the HIPAA laws and where this information goes. If you confide in the AI nurse that you're conversing with, does somebody record that and record your voice? And you're going, I have this strange rash and I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, who gets to find out about that? And is there a record somewhere? And where could that, you know, how is that locked and safe? So that's a concern, number one. But for nurses, I think even more so than doctors, the nurses are the eyes and the ears, and they have so much experience. They have so much compassion. And so when you think about the nurses, I think they give such a special level of care. So I have no problem with this, and you could tell me how you feel about it. I have no problem if this is like an assistant to the nurse or to a, you know, to the staff, where they can collect information, help you check in, all of that. I know at my doctor's office, something new, I can check in and say, I'm parking right now, or I'm here in the waiting room. So you can do a pre-check, right? And so that's helpful and expedites things. I like that. But I don't like, even for a nurse, you want a human being to examine you. And my fear is that once they get a taste of this and they're all about saving money, would they think about robots replacing a medical professional like a nurse? That's terrifying to me, because I think there's nothing like the human touch, but also nurses have that level of experience and it might be like that intangible. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what you feel. Oh, and here's another advantage to this. So they can speak in every different language, from Hindu to Haitian Creole. No matter what language somebody speaks. And I even think of, for example, somebody who is, let's say they speak English, but maybe, you know, this is a grandparent or great grandparent, and they actually speak a language from, let's say, Italian, and that's their home language, right? The family is bilingual. That's kind of comforting, I think, to an elderly person who's a legal U.S. citizen, but they came from the old country. I think that's kind of cool. I like that aspect, that they can speak the language. Do you like that? What do you think? Are you bilingual?
I'm not bilingual, but whenever you think of, like, because I'm a nerd and a geek, and I think of, like, TV shows and things like Star Trek. Star Trek has, like, stuff like the Universal Translator that you speak one language into it, and then whoever you're talking to, like on Star Trek, if I'm speaking English to a Klingon, and they're going to hear Klingon when it's said back to them, and then I'm going to hear English when they're speaking Klingon. It, like,
okay, Andrew, they're not going to speak Klingon.
No, but I'm using I'm trying to set it up and sounding like a nerd at the same time. But that kind of technology to me would definitely be beneficial to people.
Okay.
It would take away a little bit from, like, actually putting in the work and learning a language. But it's definitely, as far as people genuinely and, you know, for the most part, understanding each other, it would definitely help. Yeah. For sure.
Now, what about for your wife? Because you're a husband, dad, mm-hmm. little kids.
Yep.
I think of, you know, being a mom with your kids. Sometimes it's stressful. You're taking them to the appointments.
Yeah.
Do you think that can help a parent, especially, you know, like your wife, and she's running around and she's got to get the kids and the little ones doing it.
Yeah.
And maybe it takes the stress out of some of this with appointments and whatnot.
Yeah, a little bit. I could see how it would definitely be helpful. I'm people would call me on the younger side. I'm a little bit old fashioned when it comes to interaction with people. I would probably prefer to interact with people. I think that's what I would be comfortable with. And I know my wife would probably mm-hmm. feel the same way. I just feel like the transaction, as far as, you know, scheduling and appointments and all that stuff, mm-hmm. I would feel more secure if I knew it was an actual flesh and blood human being.
I'm with you.
But that's just me.
I agree with Andrew. So you can let us know. So do we have to take a quick break here? We have to take a break. I do want to get into some other stories of the day, update you on this NTSB hearing that's was started yesterday, ongoing today, continues on tomorrow about that Army chopper. Remember this tragedy? And it's collided with a commercial plane over D.C. back in January. So we'll get into that a little bit. I'll highlight that, some of the other headlines of the day. Thanks for being here today. Be right back. So let's get right to Kat, who is a nurse. Do you fear, hey, Kat, do you fear that Anna, the AI nurse, could replace, I mean, you're irreplaceable as a nurse, but, I mean, is that a real worry?
I think it is, and especially for patients. If I was a patient, I would not want to have to interact with AI. I'd want a human being that I could look at and see their expressions, their body language, and get a feel for their knowledge and expertise. And you need that companionship with, or I should say relationship with, a patient and their healthcare providers. Many of patients of mine I've developed rapport with, and you help them through many different struggles and incidences, and they want a hug or, you know, just an ear to listen to. I think it's just awful. If you want to Google information, that's fine, but to replace a nurse, it would be awful.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kat, thank you so much. I'm up against it because Dom's coming up in about a minute, so I don't have much time. Thank you so much, Kat. I love when, you know, I can put the word out, and great nurses like Kat, and she's called in before. We've talked a lot, so we just always appreciate your insights. But I believe in the human touch. That's for sure. Just really quick, I probably have just 20 seconds. We want to update the Army chopper that collided with that commercial plane. What a tragedy. Remember this? With the champion athletes and performers over D.C. in January. The headline out of this is they had that incorrect altitude reading, and that contributed to the aircraft getting too close. That was according to the NTSB, one of their findings, as they, that was day one yesterday. They continue with these hearings going on. A lot of speculation, but remember it happened January 29th, that crash that was an American Airlines plane from Wichita, Kansas, as well as a Black Hawk helicopter right near Ronald Reagan National Airport. 67 people killed, just a horrific crash. And they said that the controllers were warning about the hazards of helicopter traffic right near the airport for years and years. They were complaining. And that was leading up to this horrific crash. But the concerns raised about the Black Hawk helicopter's route, those were not in any way addressed. That was one of the findings. The FAA also allegedly did not make route changes or even warn the pilots, despite 85 near misses, and that happened over the past 3 years at the airport. And so the NTSB chairwoman, Jennifer Homendy, she was speaking out at the hearing and really just complaining about the bureaucracy, that they knew certain things, they knew there were problems, they knew they had these near misses, and at least as far as Army choppers, if they're doing any kind of strategic, you know, practice going on, warn them, give them a heads up about some of the different problems. So the Army, the FAA representatives tried to point blame toward air traffic controllers, remember this, and the lack of the separation between the planes landing at the airport and then the choppers flying in and around with those routes, implying that the routes themselves were not supposed to ensure the separation. So we'll continue covering this for you. I just want to give you a few headlines. That's an important one. One of many. There's so much breaking, so much developing. Let's get right to Dom Giordano, because it's just about Dom time. Hey, Dom.
Hey, Dawn. Sorry about that. Just adjusting my coat over my jeans from a Newsmax hit.
Oh, your jeans? Are these your new jeans with all of the... you know, new commercials?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went out American Eagle
influence?
All the way. Yes,
okay.
Yes. So, Dawn, just on Newsmax, and we're talking about Kamala Harris will be on Colbert tonight, the book dropping. And I went right for the title. The Democrat strategist didn't like it. 107 days. If she had double that, she would have done worse.
Yes.
It helped her to be that short run. That's why I was afraid she might have a shot. Remember in the first 2 months, polling, et cetera, said she was doing very well. The longer it went on, the more trouble.
Well, it's going to be a great Dom show, especially we can't wait. We hope that on the streaming YouTube feed, he shows his new American Eagle jeans. Dom Giordano is next.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.